From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Today's text is found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, Your Heavenly Father. God's people are doubly His children. They are His offspring by creation, and they are His sons by adoption in Christ. Hence they are privileged to call Him Our Father which art in heaven. Father, oh what a precious word is that. Here is authority. If I be a father, where is mine honor? If ye be sons, where is your obedience? Here is affection mingled with authority, an authority which does not provoke rebellion, an obedience demanded which is most cheerfully rendered, which would not be withheld even if it might. The obedience which God's children yield to Him must be loving obedience. Do not go about the service of God as slaves to their taskmaster's toil, but run in the way of His commands, because it is your Father's way. Yield your bodies as instruments of righteousness, because righteousness is your Father's will, and His will should be the will of His child. Father, here is a kingly attribute, so sweetly veiled in love, that the king's crown is forgotten in the king's face, and his scepter becomes not a rod of iron, but a silver scepter of mercy. The scepter, indeed, seems to be forgotten in the tender hand of him who wields it. Father, here is honor and love. How great is a father's love to his children! That which friendship cannot do and mere benevolence will not attempt, a father's heart and hand must do for his sons. They are his offspring. He must bless them. They are his children. He must show himself strong in their defense. If an earthly father watches over his children with unceasing love and care, how much more does our heavenly Father? Abba, Father, he who can say this hath uttered better music than cherubim or seraphim can reach. There is heaven in the depth of that word, Father. There is all I can ask, all my necessities can demand, all my wishes can desire. I have all in all to all eternity when I can say, Father.
Yeah.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Slaves to Sin or to Grace. The focus is upon verses 15 through 23 of chapter 6. So far, the emphasis has been upon the believer's union with Christ, which delivers him from bondage to the law. Paul has emphasized that we are not under the law, but under grace. That is, the law is not a means of salvation. That comes only by the grace of God through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Again, Paul stresses that salvation does not depend on any merit or works of the sinner. As he wrote earlier, we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will demonstrate that every member of the human race is a slave, either to sin or to grace. There is no middle ground. Now to continue this message, slaves to sin or to grace, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're under a gracious dispensation according to which God dispenses pardon freely and accepts the sinner as a sinner. There's the heart of the gospel. Accepts a sinner as a sinner for Christ's sake without works or merit of his own. The devil's lie is that God accepts you as a saint. Therefore, become saintly. And when you have become sufficiently saintly, when you have repudiated sin sufficiently, when you have overcome sin sufficiently, when you have repented sufficiently, when you have wept sufficiently, when you have done enough, then God will accept you as a saint. That's not the gospel. The gospel is when you come as a sinner to Jesus, he accepts you as you are. He doesn't look for a clean-up job before he takes you on. He loves the most unlovely. He treats with the most wicked. And he saves the most unworthy. He accepts you where he finds you, in your sin. But thank God he doesn't leave you there. He saves you. And for Jesus' sake, and through the merits of his righteousness and shed blood, He pardons your sin freely. He divests you of the rags of your own wickedness and self-righteousness. And He clothes you with the righteousness of Christ, the garments of salvation, as Isaiah calls them. And all without any input of any work or prayer or merit or any good thing at all that you've ever done. You come as you are, a poor, hell-deserving sinner. You come to a holy God, a righteous God, who could be expected to throw you immediately into hell to rid such an unclean thing from His presence. But as you come to the holy God, He says, I forgive you because you come to Me on the merits of Jesus Christ. He lived the life. He died the death. He paid the penalty. He put away your sin. I forgive you. And not only do I forgive you, but I accept you. Not I'm going to accept you when you have progressed sufficiently to be worthy of acceptance. No, no. I accept you fully, finally, irrevocably, eternally, just now. I accept you. And when you're in heaven a million years, I'll not be accepting you any more than I'm accepting you right now as you come to Me in Jesus Christ. We are under a system of pure grace. That's a glorious truth. I have to stop myself, stand back, take a breath, because I'll go on all night in that. That's a glorious truth. You can never hear enough of justifying grace. I'm sick of preachers running through the Bible to try to find something new, lifting a text out of context, perverting a word or a phrase in order to find something to tickle the fancy of people who are going out to eternity. And all the time, what those people need to hear is the central theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, justifying grace in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. You could never hear enough of it. But you know, if you ever want to see the wickedness and the depravity of the human heart and mind, then just watch the normal human reaction to such a truth. Because from this truth, the carnal mind draws the conclusion, since or because we're under grace, justified and accepted forever without reference to anything we have done, are doing, or will do, then it doesn't really matter how we live. We can just continue in sin. You know, throughout history, that has been the constant criticism raised against the doctrine of a free justification. As we have seen, it was raised in Paul's day. He deals with it in these two sections of Romans chapter 6. Having expounded the whole doctrine of justification in Romans 3 and 4, and in the great fifth chapter, and got into the depths of this wonderful truth of being accepted in union with Christ by grace through faith, he immediately has to come down to earth with a bump, as it were, and say, here's the objection. What you're saying, Paul, is it doesn't matter what we do. We can live any way we like. So that was the objection raised in Paul's day. It was used in the 5th century by a group called the Pelagians as they sought to fight against the doctrine of grace, sin in Adam and salvation in Christ. It was used and raised again in the days of the Protestant Reformation by the Council of Trent, the Roman Catholic Council that was raised to answer the Lutheran and Calvinistic doctrine of justification by faith, which was really the New Testament doctrine of justification by faith. And this was the position of the men of Trent. This overthrows all morality. This means you can do what you like. This is not the gospel. This objection is still being employed to this day by Romanists and by Arminians who believe in what's called synergism, that the salvation of your soul is the result of a united effort between God and you. Sadly, that has found its way into many an evangelical and fundamental pulpit. Many of you may well have heard a preacher say, God has done his part, now it's up to you to do your part. He has done it all. All you have to do is this. And if he has done his part and you do your part, then together you'll get it all right. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's all of God, and it's all of grace, and it's all free. You see, all these objections hold that holiness is the product of law keeping. And therefore, this free justification is an invitation to sin. If you're secure in Christ without reference to your works, the carnal mind says, then look, that's an invitation to live wickedly. Because holiness has to be done by law keeping, by putting you under the law. Wrong, says Paul. As I have pointed out many times in these studies, holiness will keep the law of God. I preached a whole series on the law of God here in which I took great time to emphasize that holiness will honor the holy moral law of God. But holiness is not by the law. It is by the gospel. So Paul says, this is all wrong. The fact that we are justified, verse 14, means that the dominion of sin is broken. Now, most preachers take that to be dealing with some superior level of Christian living. They take it to be referring to some subjective experience of victory in the life. And I have news for you, it's not. Now, it will lead to that, and you'll see that as we go on. It will lead to the experience of victory in the life. But in Romans 6 and 14, when he says we're not under law, but we're under grace, he is saying we are justified. We have been lifted out, and I will just repeat a little of what we've been doing in the last weeks. We have been lifted out of the realm of sin. We've been lifted out from under the reigning power of sin. And we've been put under grace. We have been justified freely. We are no longer in Adam, but we are now in Christ. This is what Paul is now emphasizing. But and forgive me, I will pronounce this word properly. You Americans all butcher it. The corollary. You will call it the corollary. The last time I looked at it in English, there were two L's in the middle, and that's corollary. So I have to teach you English as well. But you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who have got Irish blood in your veins and find it hard to follow, I'll say it your way. The corollary of this truth is inescapable. And this is what now Paul is pursuing. If we're not under sin, we're not under law. If sin is no longer the monarch that's reigning over our souls, but grace is, then, this is what 15 through 23 is all about, we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to grace. Not slaves to sin, but slaves to grace. Now let me make some very simple remarks that I hope will tie this passage together. Number one, all men are slaves to the one or to the other. Either to sin or to grace. We're all slaves. I want you to get this in your mind. There's an awful lot of rubbish talked about man and his free will and free this and free that. Every man, in a sense, has a free will, in the sense that every man has the ability to choose according, that's his volitions, according to the prevailing disposition of his will. But the prevailing disposition of the will is either sin or grace. One or the other. So we're now getting beyond volitions down to the very heart of the human soul. Every man is a slave. Martin Luther, when he wrote his great work on the bondage of the will, he congratulated Erasmus, who replied to it on behalf of the Pope, on the freedom of the will. He congratulated Erasmus that he had understood the key element in the whole gospel that Luther was preaching. This is the thing. Understand it. Every man and woman is a slave. We're either slaves to sin, or we are slaves to grace. And when you read this passage that we have read tonight, it's clear that Paul the Apostle summarizes or comprehends all men under one of these two reigning monarchs. Every one of us lives under the reigning principle of sin, or under the reigning principle of submission to God by faith in the merits of Jesus Christ. To use the language of the apostle here in Romans chapter 6, either we are serving sin unto death, or we are serving and obeying righteousness. Verse 16. Or as 19 puts it, either we are slaves of lust and uncleanness and lawlessness producing more lawlessness, or we are slaves of righteousness that produces holiness or sanctification. One or the other. Put it another way, either we're under law, trying to work our way to heaven. Under law, trying by our personal conformity to the law of God to satisfy God and gain His acceptance and open the doors of glory. Or, convicted of our sin, we have put away trust in ourselves, we have put away trust in our law keeping, and we have thrown ourselves upon the mercy of God and the merits of Jesus Christ, and we have cried, God be merciful to me a sinner, save my soul for the sake and on the merits of Jesus Christ alone. We're either under law, trying to work our way to heaven, or we're under grace, receiving the free gift of justifying righteousness by the application of the merits of Christ, received through faith. Either we're in Adam. Remember what chapter 5, verse 12 had to say about that. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, because all sinned. Where did they sin? They sinned in Adam. They were condemned in Adam. By nature, when we're born into this world, we're born in Adam. Every man, woman, and child here is either in Adam or by grace now in Christ. Therefore, every man is either condemned or justified. So, all men are slaves, either to sin or to grace. Now, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. You cannot be both a slave of sin and a slave of grace. In other words, you can't be condemned and justified. You can't be saved and lost. You can't be a child of God and a child of the devil. No man can serve two masters. It's one or the other. And I want you to listen carefully tonight. And I want you to take this very much to heart. This goes beyond church and church affiliation and church experience. Goes beyond education at a Christian school. It goes beyond profession of faith. And this gets right down to the heart of things, where you stand with God. You are a slave. Whose slave? That's the question.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.